Good morning, everyone. Give me a wave. Good morning. We want to welcome you to Central Baptist Church on a beautiful, beautiful Lord's Day. We're glad that you're joining us, those that are here in our multi-purpose building, as well as those that may be outside, those that are in our sanctuary, and those that are part of our viewing audience. We thank you for joining us today. If you are joining us by way of broadcast, please take the opportunity, if you would, to check in down there. Let us know you're here, who you are, where you're from. And also along the way, we want you to know that Dr. David Gant, one of our ministerial staff, is actually interacting with those that are viewing us by the live stream. So if you have any questions or something that you just need answered, a prayer request, whatever it may be, David is monitoring the stream, and he'll be more than happy to get you information that you may need or set up a time to be able to interact with you. As we begin, I just want folks to know, last week we did have our vote on the nominating committee report for the year 2020-2021. That was an affirmative vote, so the slate of those that will be serving in various leadership positions, that was approved last week. If you didn't get a sheet on that, one of those could be picked up at the office. Or if you're not getting out yet, you can contact the office and we'll make sure that that we mail you one so that you can see who is doing what for this this particular coming year. Thank you again for joining us. We look forward to gathering today around the word of the Lord. And we just trust and pray that we'll prepare our hearts now, that we would receive the message that God has for each and every one of us. Let us go to the Lord in prayer today. Our Father, we come to you now, and we're so grateful and so thankful for this opportunity to be able to gather in your name. Lord, we're ever conscious, even in this day and age, that the church is not about the building, but Father, the church is about your people. And what a blessing it is to be able to come together. Lord, even though we social distance, and even though we're keeping our space, Lord, it is so good to just put eyes on our brothers and sisters in Christ, and just to be able to come together under the common banner of Jesus Christ. So Lord, today we ask that you would help us to clear our hearts and minds, that what we hear, Lord, would truly be from you. Help us to concentrate on the Holy Spirit's movement in our own lives, that we might be drawn closer to you. As always, Lord, we pray that if there's one who doesn't know you, we pray for the conviction of their heart today. We pray for the surrender of their life to you. Lord, the most important decision that they will ever make, to follow and to trust you. Lord, what a blessed day it is. And Lord, we know that there truly will be rejoicing of all the saints in heaven over the saving of that one soul. So Father, be with us, dwell with us, and speak to our hearts as only you can, as we pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Our brass is going to lead us in worship today.
Thank you.
We are so thankful for our brass section under the direction of Jimmy Kreider. Thank you all for leading us in worship this morning. If you have your Bible, go ahead and turn with me, if you would, to the book of Matthew's Gospel in chapter 22. Matthew's Gospel in chapter 22. You know, as I've had a chance to talk to people, I'm beginning to start to see some of the results of the quarantine. I'm beginning to see some of the way that it has affected folks, and not necessarily in a good way. I know that early on we had heard that this is going to affect folks in so many different ways. It can be psychological, it can be physical, it can be in so many different ways, and I'm just starting to see some of that happen and some of that taking place. And this past week I had an opportunity to be talking with a fella, and it so reminded me of a scene out of a movie called The Green Mile. I don't know if you all have had the opportunity to see that movie. It's an older movie, but the fella was basically just saying this. He said, "Pastor," he said, I'm tired." He said, "I'm tired." And he began to kind of elaborate on the things that he was tired of. And then he got to that one particular part of his testimony to me, and it sounded exactly like what that fella, that prisoner in the Green Mile, said when he was talking to Tom Hanks, and when he said this. And he said, "Boss, I'm tired. I'm just tired." And he said, "But most of all, I'm tired of people being ugly towards one another." And man, how does that encapsulate what's taking place in our society today? It wasn't something that was just simply caused by COVID-19, although I think that was a tipping point, a thing that has pushed many people to that level. But why is it that in this day and age, people are just so ugly toward one another? The kindness is not there. And part of the reason the kindness is not there is because the love is not there. There is a prescription for that in the Word of God, and we're going to be looking at two different sections of passages today as we gather around the Lord's Word. But here is the remedy for that situation. Now, I know that probably each and every one of us have been in that circumstance where we could truly say, I'm just tired. I know that even this morning I've heard, I am so tired of this COVID stuff. How many would you say, I'm tired of this? Call it the new normal, but I don't want the new to become exactly what it is going to be from here on out, because we don't necessarily like that change. But folks, we cannot allow our circumstance to dictate who we are when it comes down to our walk with the Lord, nor our relationship with other people. I like what the Word of the Lord says. Here is the solution to that problem. It comes in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 22, and we're going to begin reading at verse 37. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 22, beginning with verse 37. It says, "Jesus said to him, 'You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets.'" Let's pray together. Father, you're so good to us today. I pray that we might truly be attentive to the Holy Spirit as He speaks to each and every one of us as we have gathered together today. Lord, help us to understand that the circumstances cannot and should not dictate our faith. They should not dictate our treatment towards other people. And Father, you have given us the gospel message in a nutshell in these passages that we have just looked at. I pray, Father, that we will truly heed your word today, that there may be adjustments made as the Holy Spirit tells us what those adjustments need to be. Father, for your speaker of these moments, I pray that you simply would just use me to disseminate your word, to disseminate the message that you have for your people today. Bless, Father, this time as we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, when we look at that, that's real easy to look at the Word of God, to read it, and to understand it. And He gives us the great commandment. Notice what He said in verse 37. He said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind." That is the first key, number one thing that you and I must do to be able not only to survive this world, but to be able to be in the presence of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in the kingdom of heaven, which he has gone to prepare for us, that where he is, there we may be also. So the number one priority that we should have is to love the Lord our God with all of our heart. Yeah, it's so ironic that when you do this, when you begin to love him, when you begin to walk with him, when you begin to walk in his word and become more like him, then what happens, then what takes place is that you'll find that the rest of it starts to come a whole lot easier. Yeah, he begins to teach us as we grow spiritually. But then he also gave the second thing. This was a two-part thing. He said the first thing you need to do is you need to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind. And that's joining two things together. It's not just that one thing. He says to survive, he says this. In verse 38, he said to love him was the first and the great commandment. But then verse 39, he says, and the second is like it. Like it. It says, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. That's where we start to have some problems, don't we? I mean, I would be willing to say that if we're honest as we have come together this morning, if we're honest with each other, we have had some people really irritate us. Well, now we've had some people really irritate us before COVID-19, but it became even worse since we had to deal with quarantine and so forth, hadn't it? Yeah, your fuse has become shorter. Yeah, you're sitting there thinking, what is the matter with these people? Come on, be honest with me. How many of y'all have said, what is wrong with these people today? Are they just not thinking? It almost looks unanimous in here. What is going on with people? Now, one of the things I love so much about the, I guess you would call it the theme that our youth walk with is simply this. I think it relates exactly to what we're talking about today. Our student ministry is to love God, to love people, and to love always. That's simple. That's something that you could write upon your heart every day because it is scriptural. And when we do that, then our attitudes begin to change. He said, the second is likened to the first, that we shall love our neighbor as ourselves. And he begins to talk about the importance of loving your neighbor. Well, what is involved with loving our neighbor? I think too many times we get confused when it comes down to what the definition of love really is. Because if we sit back and we say, well, you know, as a believer, we're supposed to love our neighbor as ourselves. Well, do our activities reflect that we love our neighbor? Do our actions toward them reflect that we love our neighbor? So what is love? I mean, you know, let's take a moment and define it, but let's define it as the scripture defines it, not as we define it. So I want you to hold your finger right there. Well, you don't even have to hold your finger in that place. Go ahead and go on over to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, because in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, which has also been called the love chapter, it begins to outline some things for you and I as we follow our Lord. It gives us the definition of what love is. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and beginning with verse 1 says this. Now keep in mind, we are defining what love is in a biblical manner today. So verse 1, 1 Corinthians chapter 13 says, "For though I speak with tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and all understanding, all mysteries, all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I have nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long," verse 4, "and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things." Verse 8, "Love never fails. But whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanisheth away. But we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I am also known. Now think about those scriptures for just a moment. He begins to tell us what the true definition of love is, what the biblical definition of love is. And he says this, that verse 1 really is we could just camp out on that verse all day, because verse 1 says, "For though I speak with tongues of men and angels, but I have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal." You know what that means? I have just become noisy. And he begins to talk about all these things. He said, you can do all these wonderful, wonderful things, but if you don't do them with a heart of love, he says, you're just noisy. You're just making noise. And how many times have we modeled that as Christian people for a lost and dying world? We've modeled it incorrectly. We have said that well, look at what we're doing. We've stood up and said, well, I do this, and I teach Sunday school, and I do all these things, and I'm a wonderful person, and I show up at church on Sunday. But what happens is they're looking at your life outside of Sunday. They're looking at your actions. They're looking at your activities. They are looking at the way in which you handle people. That's what's taking place. And what are they seeing when they do? How many times have you heard somebody say, well, I'll tell you one thing, I know so-and-so over there, and so-and-so professes to be a Christian, but they're certainly not living a Christian life. They're certainly not showing forth that love. Folks, let me promise you this. Somebody that's lost and somebody that doesn't know Jesus knows how a believer should walk, should talk, and should behave. So what are we modeling to them? Now, I've said that in the midst of this time that we have been going through these tough times of quarantine and this time of difference, our fuses have become shorter. We've become a people that bicker, a people that fuss, a people that sits back and says, well, you know what, I just don't like that person over there. You know, that is counterproductive to the gospel message. It is contrary to what Jesus teaches us in his word. But here is the solution for that. The solution for that is the fact that love conquers all of the bickering and all of the fussing. Love is what brings blessing. Do we really love people? Now, that's a hard question. That's a question that the Holy Spirit has just confronted your life. Do we really, really love people? Or are we just trying to survive? That's what I have been hearing so much from people lately. They said, well, you know, I love people, but right now I have to focus on me. Right now I'm in survival mode. Right now I'm just trying to make it from day to day in the days of uncertainty. Folks, let me promise you something. I've been saying this since we started. This didn't take God by surprise. I think God has put us in a position where we begin to understand a line in the Lord's Prayer a little bit better today than we've ever understood it before, where he said, give us this day our daily bread. You know, some of you honestly have had to look back and say, Lord, I'm trusting you today to provide what I need. Not necessarily what I want, but what I need. These are necessities. I think about our mission teams. I think about places around the world where there is a food shortage. I think about the fact that they literally spend their day looking to find a meal by which to feed their family. And it's not necessarily, in a lot of cases, they don't have the money for it, but then the bottom line is, even if they had the money for it, when it's not available, that puts a whole different spin on it. You can't get what's not there. And I have watched God provide day by day. I've watched it in critical situations. I've watched it in everyday situations. I've watched it in my life, and I've watched it in your life. Love conquers all these things. But folks, we have to be concerned about others. I think about those who went out to find food for their family and wound up feeding other families. You know why?
Because they were showing the love of Christ. And in the midst of that, let me tell you what happened. In the midst of that, they prayed, God, we have nothing today. We need you to give us today our daily bread. And Lord, we're going out. Lead us, guide us to where you need for us to go. And they would go, and they would find their daily bread. And not only would they find their daily bread, they found an ample supply when there was no supply. Thanks be to God. But then you know what they did? They didn't take it home. They didn't hoard it up. What they did was they went to people in their community and began to feed the community until they exhausted the means for that day. And the next day they would get up and say, Lord, we need you to give us this day our daily bread. And because of that, countless numbers of people have come to know the Lord. They have been fed the spiritual bread, not just the physical bread. Love will conquer the bickering. Love will conquer the fussing. Love builds fellowship. Love is what restores faith. Folks, the bottom line is, as we have come together today, it's not about us. It's not about us. We have got to get to the point that as we go forward, it is about the kingdom of God. It is about loving one another. It is not about us wanting to have our way. It is about understanding that God's way is completely different than man's way. It's about understanding that there are times in our lives when what we're going to have to do is we're going to have to understand that none of us have the solution. Only God does, and we follow him one step at a time. And when that happens, God brings together a fellowship like you have never seen in your life. God's people should be the most peaceful people on the face of this planet. God's people should be the people that can get along better in this world than anybody else. Because you know why? We don't make it about us, we make it about him. And we learn what the word said. Now remember, let's go back just a moment. You don't have to turn to it, but that passage in Matthew said that we love the Lord our God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind. And then he says, and then love your neighbor as yourself. Are we loving our neighbor as ourselves? Now remember, we just went to 1 Corinthians and we had some definitions of what love is and what love does. Love is patient. Are you being patient? Ooh, watch out. Love is kind. Have we been kind to one another? Have we been forgiving to one another? I heard this past week once again the tragic statement of how the world often views Christian people. The comment was this: Christian people are the meanest people in the world. Not only towards each other, but towards those who they say need Jesus. And when they look at us, we are modeling for them what Jesus should be. Are we being a good model? You see, if we're not, and if we're not doing this with love, then what we've got is a bunch of powerless service. Do you understand what I'm saying? Here's what I love. I love the fact that the quintet played today. They didn't do that. They didn't sit back and say, oh, I got to go to church and play today. They played because they love the Lord. They love the talent that God has given them, and they want to use it for his honor and for his glory, that it might be a blessing to you. And man, what a victory that is when we do that. But it says that if we do what we do, you might be really, really good at what you do. God may have blessed you with so many spiritual gifts, or even, I know he's given you at least one, and when you use it for his honor and glory, you are good at what you do. But you've got to do it for the right reasons. You've got to do it because of your love for the Lord, because in 1 Corinthians, what we understand is that your service is completely powerless without love. It doesn't matter how good you can speak. Without love, it means nothing. It doesn't matter what your words are. They are worthless unless they are surrounded with love that only the Lord can give. No matter how sincere you may be, you will fail without love. So we see that speaking without love is just simply noise. Are we noisemakers today? Are we just parading the cause? Or are we doing what we do because we really love people and we want to be the hands and the feet of Jesus Christ? How would Jesus act? How would Jesus react to the things that have been said, to the things that have been done? Would Jesus have the same attitude that you and I have as we go forward in our life? Yes, service is powerless without love. Folks, we can gather here together, but if we're not here because we love the Lord and we're loving each other, we're wasting our time. That's what the book says. Are we loving each other? What about the practical effects of love? Over 1 Corinthians 13, particularly verses 4 through 7, it says that love suffers long. That is love reacting. You know, it puts up with a lot of things. That's an old expression, isn't it? Love puts up with a lot. Love means that what happens is when things are not necessarily going right, you endure it. That doesn't mean that you sit back quietly. That doesn't mean if something is unbiblical that you don't state it. But folks, why is it that in our country today, there's this mentality that if we don't agree with each other, then we must hate one another? That is completely contrary to what the Bible says. Man, JC and I might have a talk and we might disagree on something and we may go round and round and round in a room. But guess what's going to happen? JC, I'm going to go take him out to lunch afterwards. Because I love you, brother. And nothing's going to stop that. Sometimes you just have to agree to disagree. But why is it that we have to say, well, he doesn't agree with me, or she doesn't agree with me, I have to hate them? And then what we do, listen, this is what gets even worse. We try to get people on our side. Well, I went and talked to JC, and JC doesn't have the right thoughts and patterns that I do. Can you believe that? And then you know what we do? We wait on a response from them. And we try to gang up on each other. Folks, let me tell you something. That's not what Christians are supposed to do. We are supposed to love one another. That is my brother, and I'll go to battle with you any day, plain and simple. And I'm going to love you. And here's the fun part. I know JC's going to love me back, no matter what, because he represents the Jesus which lives within him. Can you imagine what the church in America could do today if we just loved each other? If we came together around the Word of God, if we stopped being selfish. I believe, folks, with all my heart, that COVID-19 has been the rug that has been jerked out from under our feet because nothing functions as it used to, does it? We can't do things right. I thought about it earlier, and I thought about all the circumstances of quarantine and safe at home and safer at home. And it goes against everything that we believe as Christians. Fellowship. Well, don't fellowship. Stay apart. Well, we love the right hand of fellowship. You know what that means? We love to shake hands and we love to hug. All the stuff we're not supposed to do amidst a viral pandemic. Isn't it amazing? And yet God said, my church will go forward. I think that what's happened is God has decided that for you and I, it's time to stop doing things our way and start doing things His way. It is time to get back to the basics. And you know what some of the number one basic really is? Number one is to love God. That's what we gotta start doing. We gotta start loving God more and better than we ever have. And then number two, and he said it's just as important as the first, to love your neighbor as yourself. We need some work there, don't we? I think if we're honest, every one of us would say that we do. Love has practical effects. It was Peter who asked the Lord, he said, Lord, how many times Should I forgive my neighbor who has wronged me? Seven times? And when he said that, you know, if you go back and you look at history, for him to say that seven times would have been a gracious amount. It would have been far and beyond what the expectation of the law would have been. So should I forgive my neighbor seven times? A little bit of pride going on there. And Jesus said, nope, not seven times, but until 70 times seven. Wow. Really? Oh, but preacher, you don't understand what that person's done. Listen, it's not about what that person's done. It's about you being representative of Christ. What would Jesus do? Would Jesus forgive? Listen, did Jesus forgive those that were caught in adultery? Yes, he did. Did Jesus forgive those who plotted and planned against him? Yes, he did. Did Jesus forgive some of the most heinous crime that's ever been known in the world? Did he forgive murder? He forgave all of those things where there was repentance. Remember, repentance is a turning around, a going in the other direction. Where there's repentance, there is forgiveness. And when God forgives, you and I cannot be so arrogant as to say that we will not forgive. If God's forgiven somebody for something, you and I have zero right to hold it against them. Because to do that is to say we have a higher standard than God, and that is the epitome of arrogance. Plain and simple. We must forgive. You ever notice it's the small things that seem to shake us up more than the big things? We'll trip over the small things. But what about love? Love is what? Love is kind. Love is patient. That's the positive side of love. Love doesn't envy. All this is in the 1 Corinthians passage. Envy springs from catering to self. Folks, if we really got in our prayer closet and we really got on our knees and on our face before God, we would begin to understand how selfish we really are. We don't like to admit that, but we are. It's about us. It's about me. It's about my way. It's about what's going to advance me, what's going to help me, what's going to bring me to a greater status. Folks, we're selfish. And here, listen, the world teaches that. And that is why it is so important for us to teach our children in the ways of the Lord. Because if we don't teach them in the ways of the Lord, they're going to learn the ways of the world. And the ways of the world promote self. It doesn't promote God. It doesn't promote love one another. What it promotes is how can I better myself if it's right with me. The world wants to teach that there are no absolutes. See, if we don't have any absolutes, if we can just make sure that this is not wrong, then it's all right for people to do what they want to do and feel good about it. That's the society we're living in. We're selfish. It says, love vaunteth not itself. It's not puffed up. It doesn't behave unseemingly. It doesn't seek its own. It's not easily provoked. You get that? It's not irritated. How many of y'all would say that over this past week, and the camera's not looking at you, that somebody's irritated you? It could be a boss. Now, it doesn't have to be family. It could be a boss. It could be a situation. It could be a store. It could be a masked Nazi, whatever. But what happens is we've been irritated. Why have we gotten irritated? If you think about it, it's because something went against the grain of what we wanted for ourself, right? Ourself. That's what it's been about. And it says love is not easily provoked. It doesn't get irritated. It thinks no evil. And essentially, it hardly notices when others do wrong. Boy, we'll point it out when others do wrong, don't we? Oh, man. Oh, somebody wronged me. That person wronged me. I'm going to point that out because I don't deserve this, and I have a right to hold that against them. Love doesn't do that. Love is forgiving. What does it say? Love is patient. It's kind. It's not puffed up. It is willing to forgive. It is willing to restore broken relationships. Now, there are those of us that are here today, in this building, outside on the lawn, over in the sanctuary, and those that are watching, that you have held aught against somebody. It is time for forgiveness. It is time for restoration. It is time to put that in God's hands, put it behind you, and move on with a clear heart, with a clear conscience. Not just stuff it back there to pull it out on some other day, but to forgive. And to say, Lord, I'm going to forgive. I'm going to go forward. I'm not going to be that person that is captivated in sin, that is being drugged down. I am not chaining myself to that sin ever again. And you need to make some mend some fences with some folks today. You might need to make some telephone calls. You might have to write a letter. You might have to send an email. You might have to go face to face with that person. But I'm encouraging you today to get out of the muck and the mire of that sin and be love like Jesus taught us to be. It says that love doesn't think evil, barely notices when others do wrong. It doesn't rejoice in iniquity. It doesn't rejoice when other people sin. And I can tell you, there have been times when you sit back and somebody that's been your enemy has failed, and you sit back and go, oh, isn't that a shame? No. Love doesn't want to see people fail, but love rejoices in the truth. It believes all things. It doesn't look at the little faults. Love expects and love finds the best in other people. You know what, everybody could probably say this, what your mama always told you. Your mama always told you that if you didn't have something good to say, don't say something at all. But mama also always told us this, said, look for the best in people. Anybody can find faulty qualities. But how about let's find the best in people today? How about you go out and give a compliment, a real compliment that will change somebody's life? How about saying, and I know I've seen that here, particularly having to deal with technical difficulties over this past week and having some frustrations along the way, but and being able to say to somebody, look, man, I'm just venting a little bit. I know it's not your fault. You're just the salesman. But I'm frustrated. I need to vent a little bit. This is not at you. You're doing a great job. You're jumping through hoops. All is right with the world, but I got to vent a little bit. That's okay. As long as it's put in perspective. You believe the best instead of looking for the faults in other people. And what happens is when we do that, I love what that Corinthians passage on love tells us. Here's what it says. Love never fails. Ever. Not one time. Love never fails. It will not be obsolete. It does not go out of date. Love will carry us. But he goes, remember, he gave a whole list. He said, love is never going to fail. He said, prophecies, they'll fail. He said, tongues, they'll cease. Even the special gift of knowledge that's given to some people, it's going to completely disappear. But love will always remain. Always. Are we loving each other in a manner in which Christ has called us to love? Matter of fact, what are the fruits of the Spirit? The first one listed, love. Remember, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Love is the first thing. And by the way, in those passages, that when you go through it, it says that there's faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. God says, love me first with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And then, like that,
He says, love your neighbor as yourself. Now here's the thing, as we come together this morning, you personally out there watching are the only thing standing between the love that falls from heaven and your need. You're the only person standing there. You are the only person that keeps you from experiencing the awesome power of God's love. You are the only one that can accept the filling of the Holy Spirit. You are the one that can operate in His love and operate in His power. Are you living in God's love today? Do you want to demonstrate the love of God in your life? Is that what you're about as you go through life? Listen, God didn't call us all to stand up here and be preachers. He called mechanics and business people and computer folks, and He called you to be where you are, but He called you to be there as a believer for Him. That's really cool. You've got your own mission field that God has put you in. Are you living the love of God where you are? That's what He's called you to do. Do you demonstrate the love of God in your life? Are you willing to allow the fruit of love to develop in your life? And here's the bottom line. That choice is yours. That choice is yours. I encourage you today to live in His love and in His power, which is the power of the Holy Spirit, because in and of ourselves, we cannot do it on our own. I finish today's message by saying this, Matthew 22:37. Jesus said to him, and I'm saying that He's saying it to you and I today. Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. He says on verse 40, on these two commands hang the law and the prophets. How are you doing today? You know, some of us have come in and said, you know what, I'm doing a pretty good job loving the Lord, but I'm not doing a really good job at loving my neighbor. If we're honest, most of us could probably sit back and say, we need some repentance in that particular area. Yeah. A lot of us are sitting back saying, I'm not showing the love as defined by the Word of God, not as defined by the world. I've always said this, ask yourself, you know, is what I'm doing patient? Is my action or reaction loving? Is it kind? Is it puffed up? Use the 1 Corinthians 13 passage as your litmus test to determine whether or not you are truly showing love towards your brother. Because most of the time when we lay our situation beside that test, most of us fail pretty bad. Maybe some of us today haven't had that walk with the Lord. We've done a lot of things. Remember what it said? It said, you know what, I checked off the boxes. When I was little, I talked to the preacher. I was baptized. I did all the stuff. Now, I haven't read my Bible in 40 years. I haven't donned the doorstep of a church for spiritual growth in 40 years, but I checked off the boxes. Folks, that's not a relationship. That's an acquaintance. Do you have a relationship with the Lord? Have you trusted Him? And by the way, here's what His Word says. His Word says, not all who say, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but those who do the will of the Father. Jesus in you changes you. The Holy Spirit in you can't allow business as usual as a sinful man. Have you felt the Holy Spirit in your life? Has the Holy Spirit led you? Has the Holy Spirit taught you? Or did you just check off the boxes? Today you can change that. Today, if you are serious about beginning a walk with Jesus Christ, I'm just simply going to ask you right where you are, whether you're at home, whether you're in this building, outside, whether you're in our sanctuary,
just bow your head and say, Lord Jesus, today I understand your conviction. Lord, I'm lost. I'm a sinner. Forgive my sin. Come into my life. Save my soul. And help me live for you. Folks, listen, if you ask Jesus to do that seriously, in all seriousness, he did. You've got the Holy Spirit giving you peace in your life, even as we speak, of your new walk with him. Now he says, listen, I want you to walk with me. I want you to get into my word. I want you to read it. Listen, if you've done that, we want you to let us know so we can celebrate with you. If you're watching online, please contact us. Dr. Gant will put up our website. He'll put up contact information in the comments of this stream. If you want to make an appointment with us and you're online, he can, you know, just let him know. We'll get that worked out. If you're here, let us know. We would love to help you in your walk with our Lord and Savior. That's what it's all about. Maybe you're here today and you said, you know what, I've done a really good job of being in the groove, that Christian groove, that Christian norm. And COVID has taken us completely out of that. And my attitude doesn't match that of Jesus. I'm not displaying his love. I'm not loving my neighbor as I should. I'm not walking as I should. Let me promise you today that where there is confession and where there is repentance, there is forgiveness. And today, if you need to recommit your life to him, wherever you are, just simply bow your head. Say, Lord Jesus, today I've heard the Holy Spirit in my life. Lord, I know you. I'm one of your children. But I've been walking the sinful road. Today, through your help, through your power, I return to you. Lord, fill my heart with peace. Help my ways to change in ways that will honor and glorify you, in ways that I will represent you to a lost and dying world. Fill me with your peace. Give me a new set of marching orders. As Lord, we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, if you've made a decision for Christ today, please let us know. Whether you're here, whether you're viewing online, we want to be able to help you in your walk. We want to be able to guide you along that spiritual journey. Sometimes you just need somebody to vent to, somebody to pray with. We want you to know that we're here to do exactly that with you. I want you to take this time, these moments, no matter where we are in our walk, no matter what decision we may have made, to spend these moments of commitment and solidify what the Lord has said to you and your reaction to it as our brass leads us in our time of commitment and our time of invitation.
Thank you.
Lord's time is always, always perfect. Even during the time of invitation, I got a notification from those our mission team goes to minister to over in Cuba, and they said, you know what, today as we met for services, we just ask folks, bring what you have to the house of God that the Lord might be a blessing to those who don't have. What little bit of food they may have, they brought it together that all might be blessed. And you know what it was? It wasn't about the food, but what I heard was numerous people came to know Jesus today because God's people loved on each other. How timely. When the invitation started, I got that notification. Thanks be to God. Amen. In just a moment, we're going to skin on out of here. I'm going to ask Dr. Gant if he would. He's got an announcement or two just to share with you. I want to thank you for all of your support. I do want to remind folks ways that you can be faithful to your tithe, to your giving. If you're here in just a moment as we're dismissed in a multipurpose building, there is a collection box there. If you are outside on the lawn, there is a collection box that is sitting out there on the table. If you're in the sanctuary next door, you can put your offering in the offering plate on the offering table. If you are watching us online, please support this ministry that we are able to continue to keep the gospel message going forth around the world. You can do so by going to our website. Dr. Gantz put that on the comments there. There's a giving tab up there, and you can give electronically to support this work. If you're not a member of a church and you're viewing us, please take that opportunity to support us. We would love to have you as part of our family at Central Baptist Church. And the other way is if you're in the area, you can drop by during office hours from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Monday through Thursday. You can drop your tithe off at the office with Debbie, or you can put it in the mail at P.O. Box 533, Oak Ridge, North Carolina, 27410. Thank you for the tremendous amount of support that you have given the church and the church family, that God's work may continue to go forward. David's going to say the blessing upon our offering, as well as let you know of an upcoming event this week.
So just to let everybody know, September 13th is our annual church picnic. We're going to be doing it a little different this year. We're going to be doing it here at the church. We've asked that every family kind of bring their own picnic food for their family. You can set up tents outside. You can set up whatever you need to in here, gather however we want to, but we still wanted to have that time that we could all come together and just fellowship in a way, but also socially distance. I do think, or from my understanding, is that the fellowship team is going to be providing the drinks and stuff, but they are asking that we all bring our own food. That way we don't have to prepare it in such a way that we have to hand out individually boxed things and that kind of stuff. But make sure you sign up. There's sign-up sheets outside the office at the back as you're going out of the gym on the table in the narthex over outside of the sanctuary. And if you're watching online, you can just email us, call us, or whatever, and say, hey, I want to put my name on the list for the church picnic. That way they know how many to expect. And then the last thing I wanted was to thank everybody who donated shoes for Stokesdale. I don't know if you saw the post online this week, but we were able to deliver 64 pairs of shoes this week to Stokesdale Elementary. That will put shoes on 32 kids for the school year. So we made sure every kid had two pairs of shoes. But just being able to reach out, the list was longer this year. Obviously, the coronavirus has shifted things up, and there are more people in our area who are hurting than would normally be hurting, and we were able to at least help with that little bit of a need. But thank you again for helping us with that. And with that, I'll pray and we'll be dismissed. God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the opportunity to come into your house and worship. God, we thank you for technology that allows us to worship from home with our church family. We just pray, God, that as we continue to travel this unknown path of the way that life is going to be, God, that the most important thing in our lives will be that we're developing our relationship with you, but also sharing that love with others. God, guide us today. Bless the offering. Help us to do your work with what you provide us. God, and help us to seek your face in everything that we say and do. We love you and praise you. It's in your name we pray. Amen.